here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. 24th March 2014. I'm your host Xavier Wills, and I'm joined as always by my co-host and compatriot in crime, Scott Goble. Scotty, we're a week into our off seasons now. How are you feeling, mate?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I've had a really, really busy weekend. We had a mass nutrition training camp down here, and prior to that, me and Luke Shemry were filming for Max's Muscle TV. So it's been really, really full on the last few days, but that's the way I like it post-comp. I like to stay busy. It actually stops me from thinking about all the wonderful things I could be eating for a while. So it helps me keep in shape, and I advise everyone coming out of a show to fill up their calendar with things to do. It just takes your mind off things and keeps you busy, and prevents any of that post-contest depression I hear about but no longer experience.
I've actually never had that post-contest depression. I feel so happy after a comp, but yeah, you gotta, like, because literally you're so fixated on food after a comp that, like, last year I wasn't as busy. This year I'm a lot, you know, I still work from home, which kind of makes it hard because I've got the pantry, you know, right next to my office basically, but it makes it a bit easier when you're, like, pretty much flat out trying to get stuff done, so that's kind of helped me. But you've obviously, yeah, you said you shot with Max Muscle TV, Luke Shembri. How was that? And what did you guys go up to on that?
Yeah, look, we did the usual stuff, made fun of each other. He's, you know, really does hurt me that he's got so much ammunition on me, beating him in that pro qualifier. I'm never going to live it down. It pretty much was my sole motivation going into this year's FedEx, was just to really get some comedic ammunition to fire back at Shembri. But we filmed a quad session and a chest session all within about 4 hours, so we were pretty cooked after that. So we took ourselves off to the Langham buffet and had a nice big refeed, and the next day we spent about another 12 hours in the gym running training camps and seminars and stuff like that, after which we went out to an engagement party of Tom Breckenridge, a good mate and bodybuilder, a friend of ours who works at my shop. So, yeah, it's been really good. The things we do to these training camp participants is rather brutal. We always start off with leg giant sets just to see how mentally tough they are. And it's always pretty impressive how these guys stick together and battle their way through it with me and McNally and Shembri and that, just yelling at them.
Yeah. I mean, what are you guys teaching these guys as well? Like, you said you always start with leg giant sets. What do you do after that? Like, give us an example of, like, a day for these guys.
Well, they have 2 hours of training first thing Saturday morning, and we do legs. And the philosophy behind the leg training, look, we do show them a few good techniques and the variation you can get within your leg workout. We do some, you know, really explosive reps. We do some accommodating resistance stuff. We do some isometric contractions within the set and different rep ranges of motion. We do all sorts of things. So we show them a lot of variation within the leg workout. It's just that we string it all together in a hideous giant set. So basically it is, in all honesty, the reason we do it is to just show them how far they can push themselves. And we take them to a breaking point. We take them to 100%. And it's good. It's good for someone to be taken there. I've had people take me there in the past, and it opens your eyes to what you're actually capable of. And then you can go away and honestly ask yourself, like, how hard have I been going? If that was 100%, if I have it within me to go that hard, I'm probably realistically only training at 60, 70%. So it just sort of lets them lift their game when they go away. A lot of the other stuff we do will be technique-based things. We'll have little activation techniques on chest, squeezing the bar together. We'll do, again, some partner-assisted accommodating resistance on a on a dumbbell fly or something where you apply pressure near the contracted position, where your partner applies pressure to your arms near the contracted position to maintain tension throughout the entire rep range. And look, over the years, we've all got quite a few little tricks up our sleeve. So we pass on some good technique things, and then we generally just finish them off by absolutely flogging them on that body part. Like, we decided to finish off biceps with a barbell curl competition, just a 20-kilo Olympic bar. One guy got 400 reps. He didn't win.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he didn't win.
Who won?
the girl with the 25-pound barbell beat him.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
She wouldn't stop.
That's ridiculous.
It got to the point where we're all just like, please stop. Like, it actually, it's painful watching you people keep going. Like, we had dudes dropping out at 50, 70, 80, and then there's just these two standouts that just went into this strange mental zone, and they just kept on going and going and going. And it was, yeah, McNally, he said, I'll give you both a $200 Mass Nutrition gift certificate if you'll just stop, please stop. And they refused to stop because they both wanted to win so much. So he only gave it to one of them.
That's hilarious. Jesus Christ. That's I've seen they do that with RX Muscle in America. They do like a curl competition, and it's with like a reasonably lightweight. And that, you know, the top ones there get like, I think like around 100 or something like that. And Dave like freaks out at that. But doing 400, even if it is a slightly lighter weight, that's like, you know, I don't understand how fatigue hasn't set in. If I did it with my, just, if I did 400 reps, just kind of squeezing my bicep with no weight, I would get very fatigued.
That's it. You think your grip or your forearms or something would go?
Yeah, it's like when you carry groceries. If you carry them for too long, you're like, shit, my grip's gone. Like,
So look, the training cramps are great fun, and everywhere we go, yeah, I think even us, the guys running it, get something out of it. But we just get, I would say every single one of these people messages at some point, one of us or all of us, thanking us for what they got out of it. Because it's funny, when you've been training 20 years or whatever like we have and studying it, it's amazing how much you learn and you can pass on it in just a few sessions. And that's what we try and do. And then we try and, crank up the intensity.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I'm sure this is like probably, you mentioned this partly because you got feedback about it, but I've mentioned this probably before on the radio show, when I went and trained with Lucky for on legs in Melbourne, it was like 2 years ago now, he murdered me to the point where my legs were just excruciatingly sore for like 2 weeks. And that training session, I never remember being in so much pain while training or anything. And for months and months later, it made me realize how much, you know, if I was training, I'd think about that session and go, okay, I can push more reps out here, and I'd just go past it. You know what I mean? And that's like, and you know, if someone hears that, say, oh, you can realize how hard you can push yourself. Most people out there would be thinking, no, I train at 100%. No, I train at 100%. Or I train very close to it. But no, until you get pushed like that, until someone absolutely kills you, you're like, I wasn't even training hard before, so.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And, man, every time I do it, these sessions, I get a little inspired and I train a little bit harder because I just see these guys that just want it so bad that they're willing to just go to hell. The next time I come in, I'm like, ooh, all right, I've got to lift my game a little bit here. I've got to be, you know, maybe I'm not going to face a leg giant set by myself, but I'm going to actually, you know, go for it and maybe throw in a few drop sets or supersets or something.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, it's been a pretty quiet week in bodybuilding news. I mean, I actually recorded with Mick and Charles Lothian, which was cool. Charles was very, like, shy at first when we first started recording, but he kind of, we got a lot out of him, actually, in the end. We talked about, you know, how he got his gig with Flex shooting for them at the Olympia, and we talked about a lot of different stuff there. So I think people will get a lot out of that interview later on in the show. And Mick and I covered a few little bodybuilding stories about, you know, Big Ramy and things like that. But apart from that, it's been actually pretty quiet on the bodybuilding scene. So I want to talk a little bit about the Arnold Australia. It's going to be in 2015. I believe it's in March, isn't it, Scotty?
The Arnold?
Yeah.
In Australia?
Yes.
Yeah, it is officially replacing FedEx. So it will be 1 week after the Columbus show, so it'll be the second weekend in March.
Excellent. I absolutely can't wait for it, whether I'm competing or not. Scotty, will you be competing?
Most likely not at this stage, no. I am getting married in August, honeymoon in November, which is not going to give me enough time to prep. I've got houses and apartments to renovate and other duties as a husband to attend to, and I plan on enjoying them.
Yes, exactly. And I actually got to meet your lovely fiancée as well when she was over here in Perth. But Scotty, would you, before we get into the Arnold Classic Australia, how did you like Perth this time around?
I had a ball in Perth, and I was really glad that we spent an extra day there on Monday so we could cruise down to the beach. Cottesloe Beach is a really great part of Australia, so we had a good time down there. Most of it I spent on my phone, on Facebook, you know, answering messages of congratulation and checking out how many likes my latest post had got, but it was still nice. I really like Perth. The fact that, you know, your retail and restaurants are sort of stuck in the 1970s in terms of their opening hours is a little bit of a downside on a weekend. But
yeah,
other than that, it's a great part of the country.
Yeah, the Saturday night's okay, but the Sunday night is brutal. But it was great. And Scotty, I actually realised I actually went on Saturday night when I drove down. We went a different way down to this restaurant that I'd never been before. I went right down the coast. And I actually realised I've never been past Cottesloe Beach. I've actually never been to it. I've always gone to the beaches up further north. So I actually got to see Cottesloe Beach and go through that kind of area, which was kind of weird considering I've been in Perth for over a year. But, yeah, it's a nice little area. And even further up north, Scotty, if you come over again, is really nice as well. But let's launch into the Arnold Australia. Let's talk a little bit about the Arnold Amateur Comp that's going to be on, because I've had a lot of people asking me, and they've asked a few other people I know as well, how do you qualify to compete in the Arnold Australia? And a lot of people don't actually realise you don't need to actually qualify. It's not like doing the Arnold Amateur in Columbus. You know, you don't need to qualify for these, you know, for the classic classes, for the novice classes, for the, you know, all the regular classes that we had at FedEx in 2014, you don't need to qualify for those. The only ones you do need to qualify is the pro qualifier classes. That's my understanding anyway, Scotty. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
When did you last speak to Tony Doherty? Because I'm wondering if you spoke to him after I did. And you know more than I do.
No, yeah. I haven't spoken to him recently, so.
Okay, there may be some qualifying procedures in place. Now,
there may be, okay.
This is not 100% confirmed. So, again, one of those things you're going to have to get Tony on to get the final word. It's possible that interstate people will be qualifying via an interstate show just prior to FedEx and a week or two prior to FedEx.
Okay.
Nothing is 100% at this stage. So it's one of those stay tuned ones. It looks like the Victorians are just going to be able to rock up and do it, much in the same way that sort of the New South Wales guys can just rock up and do the New South Wales titles and the national titles all in one go. But if you want to compete and you're an interstate competitor, you may have to do an interstate show prior.
Okay, cool. That's not a big issue. I mean, in terms of they have to compete in that show or they have to compete and win that show, do you know?
No, I don't think it won't be a winner only qualification. It'll be either a top three or merely a compete qualification.
Excellent. That's good to hear. But I like that actually, because it encourages people to compete in their own state shows, because a lot of people just want to go for the go for glory and just go for that one comp and stuff like that. And I think, you know, even if you only use the state one as a trial show, I think it's definitely worth doing, because the more stage experience a lot of these people get, the better. And even if you are quite experienced, the more you're on stage, the better you get, I think.
Yeah, look, I agree, absolutely. I think the best thing ever happened to me in terms of my peaking procedures was doing Vicks and Nationals 1 week after each other, year after year. It really allowed me to figure a few things out. So I think it's great doing a couple of shows close together.
Definitely. But let's talk a little bit about some of the pro qualifier classes, because, I mean, after last year, we pretty much started talking about it straight away. You know what I mean? It didn't take us long till we started talking about, oh, you know, is David Cutler going to come back? Are you going to do it against Scotty? You know, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? And, you know, we kind of already, you know, teeing up who might be, you know, not only in the men's pro qualifier division, but in some of the other ones as well. And, I mean, a lot of that picks didn't come true, but it's always fun to kind of look at it and look who might be some contenders in the divisions and what we might see going forward. But, you know, we never know, obviously, what people might come out of a woodwork. But let's look at who was in it this year, Scotty, who was in your class. It was obviously yourself, and you said you're most likely not competing this year. So it kind of takes out the top two, Josh Leonardowitz turning pro. The next two, obviously, there was Andy Crawford, and we had Benny Townsend. And I think both were improved. I mean, guys weren't on stage for a huge amount of time, but Benny Townsend made some massive improvements in 1 year. You know, I didn't think he was going to be, you know, good enough this year, which he wasn't, but he was greatly, greatly improved. And then Andy Crawford. Do you think either of these guys could be the Pro Card winner in 2015?
Yeah, they could. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Benny made big, big gains, and Andy improved too. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. It does open things up a little bit. You just never know. Like, you just never know who could come out of the woodwork and take it. But of the previous couple of years, we haven't had a real standout in the over 100 kilo class. We had Adam Kazuni in the under 100s was really outstanding. If he came back and did it, I'd probably put him in as a bit of a front runner. If he gets all his injuries and things rectified, you'd think he would beat Chris Jenkins and Adam Dowling. The previous two over 100 kilo winners. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, that one. I think it could be wide open.
Yeah, and we've got guys like, you know, Andy Bell. He's hoping to get the super heavies for the Nationals in October. He said, you know, obviously he wants to be in condition, but he said he wants to be in the super heavies. So, you know, if you never know if he wins that, then he might go on to do the FedEx Pro Qualify. You've got guys, obviously you've got Adam Dowling, like you said, Chris Jenkins. And a guy that I think people... Obviously, you know, he got a bit of recognition and stuff from FedEx, but because he was in that pro qualifier, he probably didn't get as much as he deserved. And that's Atif Anwar, and he's from up there in Northern Territory, and he came down, and he wasn't really on anyone's radar, and he blew me away. But, I mean, he was crazy. He's about 100 kilos on stage, I think he was, and he was round, full, hard. Like, do you think he's, like, one of the front runners if he, like, goes on to do the pro qualifier next year?
Yes, I'd go so far as to say I'd probably put him as my favourite.
Yep.
Just from the standpoint, I know he hasn't been serious for that long. I know he's working with Phil Primmer, who absolutely knows his stuff. And I would expect him with sometimes you can just look at a bloke and you go, now that dude's got it, you know, in terms of genetics and roundness and everything else and coming in with paper thin skin, like this dude just has it. And he'd be the type of guy. It wouldn't surprise me if he competed at 100 kilos this year, if he came back at 108 kilos next year. It was the same paper thin skin on the back, and it was even sort of tighter through the lower body, and yeah, he could win it.
He's one of those guys you look at, and because we've only probably seen him really once, I've only seen him once on stage anyway, and he's one of those guys you look at and you feel like he's just reliable. Like, you almost feel like he's going to come in condition, and you feel like he's just one of those, I don't know, he's just someone you look at and say, yeah, he's going to come in, like you said, with probably an extra 5 kilos of muscle or more, and he's going to be hard and grainy, and he's just going to, he could even blow people away, you know? So he's one for me that, you know, in my mind, he's a favorite, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes, you know, in our own minds, we overhype people or whatever, but he's one I can genuinely see, you know, doing some damage and, you know, coming in and, you know, taking out a pro card next year, which is kind of exciting because, you know, like, through the year, no doubt, we'll have more people jumping in, you know, we'll have more developments and things will be happening, but, you know, I'm sure we'll be changing our picks probably throughout the year as we see all these other people come up and we get excited about new competitors and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he's definitely one on the radar. It should be on a lot of people's radar, even if he isn't yet. Yeah, he definitely should be. But let's talk about the 212, Scotty. The 212 this year, Gary Wright comes in and wins it. Not without controversy. Some people had, you know, David Cutler winning that show, and they really weren't on stage for a long time. I mean, we had Adam Browner, who I spoke to him after the show, and he said, you know, he really did mess things up, and he kind of crash-dieted, I think, at the end, and probably overdid it a little bit. And then who else do we have? We had Gretsch in that class as well, who was greatly improved. I mean, he added a lot of size throughout the year, and he, you know, had he been just that tiny bit harder or whatever, you know, he'd be right up there as well. And I mean, yeah, it was an impressive 212 lineup. So who is there, someone out there that's obviously not competing, didn't compete in the 212 this year, that you might see being in there next year? Or do you think one of these other guys, you know, like a Mark Gretsch or a, you know, I don't think David Cutler's going to do it next year, or, you know, but an Adam Browner or something that might come back next year and win it.
Mate, Gretchy's at this stage not doing it either. So we might have just taken out, you know, the winner, obviously, Gary's moved on. Cutler was second, and I think Gretchy was third. So, it could be another one that's just open for the taking. So, Yeah, let's see. We've got to have some fantastic guys in that class. We've had, you know, the under-80s and under-90 classes over the years have been sensational in Australia. So
I think, like, Chris Thomas. Chris Thomas is an under-90 guy. He could always come in and do that.
Yeah, he could. And Chris has battled to get down to under-90 the last couple of times, and we know he's always in crazy conditions. So
he killed himself to get under-90 at the Omar, I tell you that much.
Yeah, and generally, as you and I both know, with our chest development, if one thing flattens out, it's always your weak body part. So in Chris, it's probably his legs are flattened out. So maybe if he can come in a little bit fuller enough to worry about the scales, he might even be a little bit more balanced and still have that crazy condition. So, look, that's a strong front runner. You put him near the top of the heap just on his reliability with his conditioning. Man, do we dare mention... Pilates yes. At this stage, is it too early? He looked pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to mention him. He's one that, you know, if I was him, I wouldn't even be worrying about the weight thing. Like, because we've seen guys, you know, obviously he's a decent amount under that weight. So he weighed in, I think, at under 80s. If he comes in, you know, on stage around 85 next year, I think that's plenty enough for his structure. You know what I mean? I think, you know, it's almost going to be like a, you know, Lee Priest, when he competed, he weighed in about 90 kilos on stage. I mean, if Aaron Pilates is around 85, 84, anywhere around there, he's going to, or even 83 or something like that, he's going to be incredibly, you know, incredibly hard to beat because he's just so thick. Like, he just looks absolutely insane when he's on stage by himself. And even when he's sitting next to people, he does too.
Yeah, that was the thing that blew me away is he did look good in pictures, but I still thought, look, he's... You know, a little bit limb dominant, like his, you know, shoulders overpower his chest and stuff like that. But when he was on stage with other dudes, I thought he just looked like a beast, an absolute beast. So, he's got to push himself into contention now.
And the thing about Aaron is as well, for whatever reason, I don't know why it is, you think when he gets on stage, he would look perhaps a little bit smaller or whatever. I think he comes alive on stage. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but he looks bigger on stage. Don't ask me why, but he just does.
Yeah. Who else have you got on your list there?
They're my main front runners that I can think of off the top of my head. There's obviously other guys out there that are on the verge of possibly, you know, fitting that 212. I actually think Andy Bell, like he said, he wants to be a super heavyweight this year. If he is on the verge and just does under hundreds or whatever this year at the Nationals, you could always count him in because you just got to weigh in at, you know, 96 point whatever it is. He could possibly be one if he wins at the Nationals that could jump in there as well. So there's a lot of names that I think we might see, you know, come out and do that. And we don't know who's going to win at the Nationals as well because we had, what was the guy's name that got second to Aaron in the under 80s?
At VidX, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like Harry Vlahoff or something?
No. What's his... I know exactly what he looks like. He has the shaved sides of the head.
I'll tell you, Dominic Selwood.
Yes, he's very impressive. Very, very impressive. I mean, Aaron was obviously too good for him on the day, but Dominic has some crazy, crazy legs. His upper body didn't quite match Aaron's, but he's another guy that I think even got a little bit overlooked just because, you know, Aaron was obviously so good. I think if Aaron hadn't been in that class, I think a lot more people would be talking about Dominic, so... He's another one that is obviously a possibility as well, so we'll have to just obviously wait and see what happens from there. But I don't know if he's qualified. I think he'd have to go and do Nationals or something like that and win to qualify for that 212 pro qualifier. But Scotty, men's physique, I know you're not the biggest fan of the division. Maybe you got a little bit more respect for it for after the Omar.
I only like the Joeys. I'm a fan of the Joeys, and that's it.
The Joey Pitt, the Joey Wills. But yeah, obviously the men's physique one, it's a tough one to kind of, you know, think about this far out, but you got Anthony Rufus who's going to, I assume he's going to be back next year. You got your Joe Pitts, you got your Joe Wills and stuff, and I think this is going to be a division that kind of is going to develop from what we saw last year, because I think with Joe Pitt and Joey Wills, they're two guys, I think that could, you know, work on their presentation a little bit, and especially Joey Wills, I think if he works on his presentation, he's going to be a lot better. And I think Joe Pitt's got a really good physique as well, and he holds himself quite well. He just needs to just work a little bit on his presentation and this stuff. And I think there's going to be another few guys as well that are going to be up there competing. But I think this is one where, you know, because it's not bodybuilding. With bodybuilding, you're going to say, okay, well, this guy's 15 kilos under what he needs to be to turn pro. He's not going to be a pro, you know, but he's at this level. But with men's physique, you can see someone. They might have the right amount of muscle. They just need to work on their posing or whatever. So there's so many guys, I think, that could do well. It's kind of a hard one to, I suppose, say, oh, this guy could be in there, this guy could be in there, this guy could be in there, because you could probably name off 50 people or something.
Yeah, you might be able to name 50 people. I can only name two.
I can't name 50 people. But
three, Rufus and the Joeys. Go the Joeys.
But yeah, I hope those guys are up there again this next year, the Arnold Australia. And Scotty, I mean, let's talk about the Expo as a whole. I mean, obviously you're in close quarters with Tony and stuff. Has he been talking about what he wants to do? Is there anything you can kind of tell us in terms of the size of this thing and what it's going to be like?
It's going to be about 50% bigger. He's got half the exhibition centre booked, so it's normally 20 bays. The exhibition centre is not normally 20 bays. It is 20 bays, and we've got 10 of them. So it's going to be massive. He wants to get a whole lot more sports involved. He wants to get some, you know, national qualifiers and Olympic qualifiers and Commonwealth qualifiers and things like that involved, like they have in America. So what sports that's going to be and, you know, how it's all going to be run, look, that's still all up in the air. But, I mean, he's meeting with, you know, the mayor and all sorts of people, chatting to big government groups to try and get funding, and Simon Madden, I think, who's our sports minister here. So he's got big plans. You know what Tony's like. So he's going to aim extremely high, and if he falls a little bit short, he's still going to have a pretty spectacular product on his hand.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I think it's going to be having that Arnold name attached to it, it's going to attract. I mean, we had an awesome lineup this year. But having the Arnold name attached to it being 1 week after the Arnold Classic Columbus, I think we'll just draw out almost all the top names. I don't think we will see, you know, a Dennis Wolfe or a Cedric McMillan skipping the show that we had obviously this year. I don't think they'll be skipping it next year just because it has that Arnold name attached to it. So we might basically see, you know, the Arnold Classic lineup come straight out to Australia to compete.
Yeah, you would assume so, unless they've got some sort of visa issue or something like that. It'd be hard to imagine they're not going to come out here. I mean, part of the stipulation when sort of securing the Arnold name is you have to have a minimum level of prize money. So the prize money is going to increase significantly across every single division. It is going to bring out the big names. There's no doubt about it.
I just wanted to ask about this, Scotty. Now, obviously, the Arnold Classic competitions, they are invitation only. In terms of being an invitation-only show, will we still get all the Australian competitors? And obviously, there's going to be, I think it will maybe just weed out a few of the competitors that finishing in those last places, and we're probably going to replace those guys with, you know, like we said, Cedric McMillans and the other top guys. I assume it's still invitation-only.
It is definitely, yeah. That is the Arnold sort of policy. So it will be invitational only. It's not going to be accessible to every single IFBB Australian pro if they put their hand up for it. So the selection criteria isn't based wholly and solely on placements in the same way it isn't in Columbus as well. So if you bring something different from a marketability or an entertainment standpoint, you can sometimes get yourself into the lineup, even though there might be a more credentialed athlete also nominated based purely on competition history. So it's an interesting one. Not exactly sure how many Australians Tony's going to be able to invite. He will be able to invite a few or two or three or something like that, but that's going to leave a few guys out in the cold. And you have to start thinking, well, who brings more to the table than the other guys? I had this chat with Luke Shembury on the weekend, and, you know, it's a tough one, you know? Like, if Ivan Sadak nominates for it, you'd have to assume Ivan's going to get in there just purely on his physique and his placings in the Australian pro shows in the past. Then what? You know, does Tim's get in, or does a Luke Shembury get in, or does Josh Lenardowicz get in? You know, can you really justify putting Abe in there now on his last showing? He's probably going to get booted. It's a really tough one because I'm sure every Australian pro will be nominating themselves for it. They'd be crazy if they didn't. But I don't think they're all going to be able to get in there. So, again, you have to clarify the exact numbers with Tony. I think it's probably going to be around two or three, or maybe two and three in the pro qualifier winner, or something along those lines, but I don't think even he knows 100% at the moment.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting. I mean, it, you know, it's kind of, in a way, it's a little bit sad that we won't have every Aussie in there, but I think as well, it's, you know, obviously it's got the Arnold name, and it's going to be even more special for those guys that do get selected, I think. I think it's going to be more of an honour, and they're going to be on stage with the best of the best, you know what I mean? It's going to be an invitation-only show, and you're not going to have junk in the lineup, basically. So, which is, you know, obviously no IFBB Pro is junk. We're like, you know, it probably sounded a little bit rude what I just said, but in terms of, you know, those guys that, you know, when you go to a pro lineup, when you go to a pro show, you want to see the best of the best. You don't want to see guys that are probably ranked number 200, 300 in the world. So it does obviously up the standard, and it should be very interesting to see who does get selected, and that's going to be a talking point for us on the radio show.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah, I'll be in the background in Tony's ear trying to push for my favourite Aussie pros to get in there. So, yeah, Luke Shenby shouldn't have a chance.
I love it, Scotty. I love that rivalry. But anyway, let's actually, I just want to mention before we head to a break, RXMuscle.com is going to have a 24-hour TV station, online TV station, launching on March 24th, I believe it is, which is actually today. Well, tomorrow, actually, American time. So I want to just make sure everyone stays in tune for that, because that's going to be interesting, because it's going to be 24-hour streaming. So whether it's, you know, in the Iron Asylum training videos, or it's the Heavy Muscle TV show, or it's the Fitness View and all the programming that they have, they're going to be having a station that goes all the time. So if you just want to jump on before bed, or you want to do anything like that, you can just jump on your phone or your iPad or whatever, and check out that TV station and get some bodybuilding news and media in before you go to bed or whenever. So, yeah, that should be launched tomorrow as far as I know. If I'm wrong on that one, then I'm very sorry, but it should be launched tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. But on that note, Scotty, we're going to head to a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with your Ask Scotty segment and Bodybuilding Yes or No.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm with Scott Goble once again, and we are here for his bodybuilding yes or no and Ask Scotty segments. Now, Scotty, we're going to start with your Ask Scotty. Are you ready?
I am always ready, Xavier. You know that.
Excellent. Well, these ones are pretty much about you, so you might like all of them.
Oh, this should be
easy. Yeah. So, first question is, Scott, when will you compete next? If you had to pick a show, which one would it be?
If I had to pick a show.
Yeah, if you had to guess which show you'll be competing in next.
You know, that's a good question. I don't honestly have any show in mind at the moment for the first time ever, which is odd, but I certainly have some things I want to achieve with my training and development over the coming months. So it's not like I by any means have switched off the bodybuilding gene in me. Let's see. If I was to say a show, you know, yeah, probably the Pro Qualify 2015. If I was, you know, forced to pick the one, if I was to put odds on the line, I guess that'd be the one to bet on.
So the one that you said you're most likely not competing in.
No, hang on, that'd be 2016, wouldn't it? 2016, yes. Yeah.
It sounds like so far away, 2016, doesn't it?
That is a long way away.
But it's no further than you actually, because it's at the start of the year, so it makes it sound like it's further away. But anyway, Scotty, next question. Are you reverse dieting out of this last contest prep?
In a very, very unscientific way, yes.
Yeah. So are you just doing it kind of almost by feel, like in terms of like, because I'm doing it in a way, I'm kind of tracking it a little bit, but it's, I mean, you know, you still want to, I feel like we're kind of doing a similar thing. Like I'm doing it, you know, in terms of I'm tracking it a little bit, in terms of I know how many calories I'm approximately eating, and then I'm just going to slowly increase it. Are you doing a similar thing and just, you know, having your own little cheat meals and stuff like that with it?
Yeah, I'm skipping meals and binging is how I'm doing it.
Oh, really?
So it's very unscientific. No, it's just this past weekend with the training camp and the filmings and stuff like that, there were times we just couldn't eat. Like, we were just grabbing a shake and running from a training camp to a seminar and stuff like that. So I did miss meals and then end up at a buffet or Misty's Diner eating deep-fried double-stuffed Oreos and ice cream. So throughout the week, I'm a lot more structured. I have just bumped up the carbs in my muscle meals, you know, thrown in the sauce and stuff like that. Switched from chicken breast to tandoori thigh. So yeah, I'm pretty good during the week, and on the weekend it's pretty loose.
Yep. Now, what was your highlight at FedEx 2014?
What was my highlight? Just all the people coming up to me. Like, it was pretty overwhelming on the Sunday when I was cruising around from booth to booth, the amount of people that came up to me and said something like, oh, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, everything you've accomplished and, you know, big fan of yours. And I say, oh, yeah, the bodybuilding and that. They go, no, the Facebook. You know, a big fan of
the Facebook.
So, yeah, I really like your posts, you know. They really like your physique, but you say some good shit on Facebook.
Have anyone that said,
No, they didn't say that specifically, but it was pretty much universally, I'm a fan of yours on Facebook. I don't know how many people came up to me and, you know, wanted to take photos with me. And it always blows me away that people will say, you know, come up a little bit tentatively, oh, you know, would you mind if I got a photo taken with you? And you're sort of in your head, you're going, this is ridiculous. Like, I can't believe this person wants to have a photo taken with me. And it's such an ego boost that you're like, hell yeah, I'd fucking love to have a photo taken with you. You know, like, get over here, tag me on Facebook. You know, it make me look like I'm some sort of famous person. So, yeah, it was really, really cool that the Sunday, the amount of people that came up to me, said hello, you know, wished me all the best, said, you know, even, you know, all the people that said, I thought you should have won it, even though in my head, having seen the pictures now, I'd sort of think, man, those people really just don't know how to judge a bodybuilding show. It was still really nice to hear that. And, you know, they all wish me luck and say, oh, I hope you're up there next year and all that. It's always nice to hear that sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. What was, I suppose, your highlight of the whole, I'll ask you this. You said you had 7 photo shoots, like, after FedEx and between the Omar. What was your favorite photo shoot that you did?
Let's see.
Or most excited to see the photos of?
Lothian's one, for sure. Sunday Arvo. Shot with Charles Lothian. That was one where I was out posing at the bus stop in the middle of Spencer Street, Clarendon Street, And again, was just swarmed by Asians wanting to take pictures with me. I don't know why it was only Asians, but I think it was two Caucasians and 300 Asians got their photo taken with me that day down on South Bank.
I think they just like photos more.
Yeah, maybe. And Charles was just off in the background shooting and just getting candid shots of me and the people's reaction. And then, you might have seen he's done some shots of couples in the past, Emma and Gretchen and stuff like that. So me and Tanya got a few shots done as well.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to seeing those.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, and we've got obviously Charles on later on in the show. And we've got a couple of bodybuilding yes or no's. We've only got two, and both are related to William Bonac, who I'm a massive fan of now. Okay, first question is, will William Bonac win the 2014 Arnold Classic Brazil?
Yeah, I'm putting my money on him. Look, going by the current list, I'd sort of have to pencil him in as a favourite.
Yep, I totally agree with you there, Scotty. I think he will as well. Okay, next question. Who's better in 5 years? So just say we're both competing at Olympia in 5 years. Bonac or Baiki?
Baiki's just too much of a roll of the dice. Who knows? I'm not convinced he'll ever get in true condition. So I'll say Bonac. He's 31, so he'll be 36. Baiki's got to be about the same age, maybe even a couple of years older. So, yeah, I'd say Bonac.
There. I'm very excited about William Bonac because I think people think he's a bit older than he is. Like, you know, with bodybuilders now, everyone's assuming they're, you know, 35 already. So, you know, think about it. You know, a lot of guys improve up until they're 40. So he's got, you know, possibly 9 years or 8 years of improvement in his physique, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, he does. He's got that real sort of fresh look to his physique as well. So, and he's growing fast at the moment. So we'd assume he's got a few more kilos in him, which is kind of scary. I'm very excited about following his career as well.
Definitely. But Scotty, that's it for us this week. I'm not sure if we'll have an interview up after the break or not. I know I spoke to Gary Wright today, and we're going to be doing an interview with him for next week's show, as far as I know anyway, all going well.
And you'll ask him why he didn't go to the New Zealand Pro?
Yes, because that was obviously a massive thing that was going on Facebook. Luke Shimmery actually put up a status saying, you know, why wouldn't he go type thing, and there was just, I think there's over 300 comments or something. So people are obviously quite passionate about it because everyone wanted to see him, I suppose, in New Zealand, because I assume he probably would have gone quite well over there as well. So,
He'd want to have a good reason.
Yep. So I'll be asking him all the hard-hitting questions. I'll be asking him what he thought of that post. I'll be asking him everything. So everyone will be able to find out, you know, because Gary's kind of an intriguing character as well. So I want to find out more about that, and I want to find out more about the whole, Mike Lee and Trevor Leadbeater type deal.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's going to be a very interesting one. I can't wait to hear about that. And then, obviously, we'll talk a bit about, you know, his future plans and what he's going to be doing going forward within the 212 class as a pro. So that is going to be a very good interview of it. I'm very excited for. So I'll be talking to Gary later on, I think, this week or early next week, and we'll be doing an interview then for next episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. So I'm not sure if we'll have a guest up straight after this or if we'll just go to Mick and Charles, because we recorded quite a long segment at the end of the show. But either way, that's it for Scotty this week, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week, I'm joined by Michael Galley to wrap up the show. But not only Michael Galley, I'm joined by world-famous, now bodybuilding photographer, Charles Lothian. Charles, I'll talk to you first, mate. How have you been? I saw you down at FitX taking plenty of photos.
He's asked you a question.
Sorry, it's just Galley's a bit upset that you wanted to start with me.
Yeah, I knew he would be, so that's kind of why I did it.
Oh, this is the people I work with, Charles. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, how have you been, Charles? You just you were down at obviously FitX. You were taking some photos there backstage and doing the studio thing, and then obviously you were up at the All Female Classic. I don't know if you was at the Australasians as well, but yeah, how's it all been going?
Good. Yeah, it's been busy.
I actually saw you took a photo with it was like Sean Roden and like Mark Gretsch, Aaron Pilates, and all that.
That's healthy, yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. So what was kind of, I suppose, what was the highlight of these 3 weekends? Because I imagine you've been pretty busy trying to get all these photos out and stuff like that.
I just psyched out.
Oh dear. I think he's got a bit shy on the radio. He couldn't stop talking before. Now we've got him recording and he's blushing.
He just knows it's rolling, so it's just pushing on.
Xavier, look at me. Just look at me. No, sorry, Charles, look at me. What was your favourite part in the last 3 weeks?
Michael Galley taking Annie out for dinner.
And I have not made him say that, Xavier, and I do not have cue cards pointing at his face.
It was just the two of us.
Oh, dear. Oh,
candlelit dinner.
Well, this is going to be an interesting fucking conversation.
He ordered a drink, even though I didn't want one. I ordered the mineral water. He didn't stop.
Oh, dear. Anyway,
Xavier. Anyway, Mick, how has your week been, mate? I know you've been... we haven't had as much contact as normal.
No, well, I figured after all your comps, you probably need a bit of a break from me. You hear from me 2 or 3 times a day. But, mate, I've had another really good week. Great having Charles up here at the moment. I mean, like you said, we took him out for dinner. I took him out for dinner in a really nice...
It was
nice,
Michael.
Okay, Zab, you've said that, Charles. It was just me and Charles. Really nice restaurant, thinking I'd show him around. And it was a place on the water. And, you know, we went out there and...
The table wasn't actually on the water, though. It was side hidden.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, it wasn't really hidden, but we hit like, me and Logan and Craig, when we go out, we normally hit Macca's first, and then we go to the restaurant. So I did that with Charles, and it sort of backfired this time, because both of us tend to fill up a bit, and we didn't even finish our food.
Michael Galley wasted the garlic bread.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, so that was good, and then...
He didn't even finish his steak.
No, neither did you. So then on the Sunday, yeah, the All-Female Classic, Craig... With the rest of the boys, Aaron and Logan and Craig, we just sat around there, and that was a pretty good show, mate. Venue was good. There was a lot of people there. Aaron Stern was there as well, guest posing. And I won't lie, Xavier, is there a better girl in this world than Aaron Stern?
Yeah, I thought you'd pretty much fall in love with her. She was over at the Amara Classic as well, and she was, very, very chilled out. She was like just hanging out, talking to people and stuff. You know, she seemed very relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, I took a liking to her in Perth, but then we actually got to speak to her in, on the Goldie, and was like, oh, yeah, okay. So she's got a few appearances here in the next day or two, so I'm thinking I might just go to each one.
and just stalk her.
I think she might get the hint after the second or third appearance and go, that guy's, he's not going away, is he? So I'm going to use the old tactic of just wearing him down.
Wearing him down, very nice. Yeah. But obviously he's up there. Do you have some of the winners there, some of the winners' names?
Mate, it's hard to remember some of the classes, but I do know Trisha Rufus. She won her division, again, with Jade coming in second. I'm just not sure on the, you know, on which actual class it was. There's so many different ones at the moment. Nikki Ford got up again in the physique, and she had I didn't see her in Sydney, but I saw her in FedEx, and she appeared a little bit fuller and bigger. Louise White coming second to her there, and Louise was on. Her condition was even better than FedEx. She was very, very impressive.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting next year with women's physique. Now with Amy, obviously, you know, already qualified, and now she was obviously a hot favourite going into FedEx, and she won her pro card. It's going to be interesting to see who kind of comes in next year and takes that next pro card.
Yeah, I think at this stage, Nikki looks like she's the favourite. She seems, you know, she's been on a good roll in the last few weeks, and Andy Bell's obviously prepping her now as well, so yeah. I'm sure he's got a few tricks up his sleeve. But
I'd love to see like a Rach White jump into that.
Yeah, actually, just thinking of that too. Yeah, she's got a brilliant physique, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Awesome. Mate, the other division, I can't remember too what it was. Katie Morris come in second, and Julian Jenkins won. So I'm not sure where that leaves Katie now. She was pretty upset after that result. And to be honest with you, I probably tended to have Katie in first place. And I probably had Katie clearly in first. But, again, I'm no judge. So that's a tough thing to judge for women's physiques and stuff like that. But I'm not sure where that leaves her. Katie's sort of, you know, she's given it her all this year and hasn't got the desired outcome. So I'm not sure if she might hang up the boots, which is what she did allude to, or she may look at something else. I'm not too sure. I guess we'll wait and see in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I feel bad for Katie because she's always been there or thereabouts. She's just been on the outside of those girls, you know, winning their pro cards. Like she, you know, the Australasians, the year prior to Laura Keddy winning a pro card, you know, they drew, you know, at the Australasians, and Laura Keddy won on a count back, so she got second there. And obviously that, you know, next year Laura Keddy won a pro card, and it's like it seems like she's always kind of been like, you know, the bridesmaid in a lot of these situations. So hopefully, you know, we'd love to see Katie obviously back on stage, but that's obviously a personal decision for her, and one she's got to make, you know.
Yeah. So but yeah. So then what did we do then? I think we sat around and helped Charles pack up, me and Craig, and then we went to a beautiful restaurant called Hungry Jack's. Which is a nice chain of restaurants that appear around Australia and the world. And, yeah, so we went in there and it was very nice, wasn't it, Charles? Whopper of cheese.
It was lovely, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, I just don't think Charles is putting in the effort, Xavier. Right? Have you got a good
stage
fright? Have you got? He has got stage. You should see him. He's like a deer in deer staring at headlights.
I actually had Amy Fox's 30th dinner on the weekend.
I saw those photos, yeah.
Yeah, she was very in a very happy mood, I think, because she was having, you know, a bit of a meal and stuff. She had a bit of a celebration, and yeah, it was really good. I got to see Shane Smith and talk to him about what he's gonna be doing, and I think he's gonna be doing the over hundreds at the Nationals again this year, and he's talking about some of the competitors that might be doing it. You know, he might be up against Andy, he might be up against Adam Dowling, and he's same as a few other guys as well. So it could be a good actually over hundreds class up there at the Nationals this year in October. But yeah, Amy was obviously very happy, and you know, she's kind of talking about what shows she's going to be doing and all that kind of stuff. And you know, at the moment the New York Pro is on her her list as the first show she's going to be doing most likely. But if that's not the first show, the first show will be in Toronto, where Christine Enville is also competing. So
don't forget, too, we've got Eliane Lopez looking at the New York Pro as well. So,
yeah, and also Renee Smith, too.
Oh, nice. So we're going to have a good Aussie sort of team over there.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping Amy is able to pull it all together. I know she had a little bit of time off after FedEx, and she said she's been eating a little bit too much food at night and stuff. So hopefully she can pull it all together and get in shape by that New York Pro. But, you know, I kind of talked to her about it. She said, you know, I'm getting a bit stressed about it, whether I'm going to be in condition. And I basically just said to her, I said, look, you know, aim for it, and if you're not in condition, then don't do it. But obviously, you know, if she can come in condition there, that's a massive opportunity for her to get noticed by, you know, the worldwide kind of bodybuilding media, because that's obviously, you know, everyone's at that show, you know. It's probably, I suppose, I don't know if you call it the third biggest show anymore now. You've got all these Arnold's, you know, Arnold Spain and all that stuff, but that was traditionally known as the third biggest show after the Arnold Classic Columbus.
Yeah, it used to be the Knight of Champions.
Yeah.
That was Knight of Champions for years through Wade D'Amelio and then before his little outburst and moving on to the PDI. Can I just say, too, as I'm sitting here with Charles, he's just editing some... Can I say what you're doing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, he's editing some pictures of Aaron Stern that he took down in Melbourne, and it's on location out. Where are you there?
It's a private location.
Okay, so it's a private location. It looks like down the mountain somewhere, but man, cheers.
Yeah, that sounded sus. No, it's using wildlife and nature.
Okay, it's in technical photography terms, it's using wildlife and nature as one. So there you go.
Because private location sounded a bit. Yeah.
Well, not really. Anyway,
Great outdoors.
Where are we heading now?
We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk about actually. We'll stay on the New York Pro for now. Big Ramy, there was pictures of him that kind of surfaced of him actually in hospital, and there's all these rumors flying around saying, you know, what's it for and all that type of stuff. It's kind of basically was a bit of a non-story really, but I suppose it is still news. But he had a upper respiratory infection, and you know, he's obviously still, you know, he's prepping for New York Pro, and that's obviously a bit of a speed bump because it sounds like it has actually affected him a bit. You know what I mean, in terms of his prep and, you know, what he's doing and stuff. But do you think this is enough of, enough of a hiccup for someone like Big Ramy, who does, you know, he has kind of, he's got in good condition without getting in phenomenal condition. Do you think this could be enough to leave a door open for guys maybe like Juan Morel and stuff like that will be doing with New York Pro?
No, I don't think any of those guys can top Ramy off this time. He looks like he's put on a lot more size too in photos that he released only a week or two ago. Depending on how serious it is, and I don't know, you know what sucks? You jump on a website like getbig.com, and then they put a picture up of him, and then you just, there's some of the remarks people make are ridiculous, you know, to the point, you know, like he's dying or this has happened to him, heart attack or whatever. And then obviously Dennis James coming out with a statement saying, no, this is actually what it is. But yeah, you just can't seem to win, can you?
Nah. Anytime a bodybuilder, anything happens to them, like whether it's they're just sick and got the flu or whatever, like, or whatever happens, it's basically just blamed to gear, you know what I mean, straight away. And, oh, he's using excess amounts of this, and, oh, you know, if anyone has any stomach issues, it's always insulin or growth or anything like that, you know. And it's like bodybuilders can't have any other problem unless it's drug related.
We've just got room service coming in.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Yeah, is this the bad thing?
Yeah.
No,
we're good, thank you.
Yeah.
So you there, Xavier?
Yes, we're here. Let's just keep that in there.
Yeah, oh, no, it's actually good. It's like, you know, it's in the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't remember what he's talking about now, but yeah, it seems like anything bodybuilding related is blamed on, you know, steroid use or whatever. But
yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the 2014 Arnold Classic Brazil. I mean, I kind of looked at the lineup here, and it's starting to look pretty impressive. I mean, last year we had, you know, going into the contest, we had Cedric McMillan. He was the favorite. It seemed like, you know, pretty much no one was going to be able to beat him. And he showed up late to didn't show up at all, whatever, to the athletes' meeting because something happened and he didn't get there or whatever, and he was banned from the show. He's basically disqualified. And that left the door open, and Brandon Curry won, which kind of seemed, I mean, it seemed like it was a Brandon Curry that was good without being great. I mean, he wasn't in condition to what, you know, you'd expect an Arnold Classic winner to be in, and he still didn't have the size of someone like a Cedric as well, so it seemed like it was pretty much, you know, a lot of money in the title of an Arnold Classic was flushed down the toilet for Cedric last year. Now, Cedric's not in the lineup this year, but we do have a very impressive lineup, and I think a much better lineup than last year, Mick.
Yeah, there's some real good names in there too. And you didn't know? Did you know Lionel was doing it?
Yes, I did know he's doing it, but I didn't see. I haven't seen the recent pictures, so I'll have to jump on and look at those ones.
Yeah, I think they're on Dennis James's page, I think. So they were just 6 week out photos, then 5 week out photos. But he's looking dangerous as well.
Yeah, definitely. And a name that's been added to the list, which I'm very excited about, is William Bonac. Now, he competed in Australia, and, you know, there's people talking of that he could have beaten Sean Roden. You know, he was that good. He was just absolutely insane.
Can I just say, as you said that, I'm sitting next to Charles with a Sean Roden shirt on. So clearly someone's a fan.
But, I mean, yeah. Obviously we saw William Bonac in Melbourne, Mick. I mean, do you think that this guy can knock off all these names? I mean, who we got in the lineup? We've got Lionel Blakey, we've got John De La Rosa, who's come on strong, we've got Steve Kuklo, we've got Juan Morel, we've got, you know, Ed Nunn, Rolly Winkler was set to be in this lineup. I don't think, as far as I know, I haven't heard of him saying, you know, now he's definitely doing this show after his bike accident. But, you know, we've got some good names in there. So do you think William Bonac can or will take the cap this title?
If Cedric's on again.
Cedric's not in this show.
He's not. Okay. No. He's got as good a chance as anyone then, hasn't he?
Leon or William would be great to see against each other if they're both on.
Except who?
Leon or Bjerg.
Leon and Bjerg, yeah. Yeah, he's in, yeah, he's in, yeah.
Because they've got crazy structure.
Yeah, they do, mate, yeah. I think, yeah, he's got as good a chance as anyone, mate, especially after that showing in Australia.
Yeah, definitely. And people see him and say, oh, can he do 212? He was over 230 pounds in Australia.
Yeah, so, yeah. Remember when I first asked you that, I said, is he a 212 guy? Because I just, by the height of him, and then when you told me his weight, I thought, fuck, it'd just be, for him to get under 212 would just be a waste of time.
Yeah, no, and he wasn't tall, and he was over 230, and I believe it too, because when he was on stage, he was just, I couldn't take my eyes off him. I was just like, yeah. I kept saying, Holly, look at him, he's fucking crazy. But Charles, do you get to see the pro show in Melbourne?
Yeah.
What did you think of Bonac compared to Roden?
I didn't actually see any of the judging from the front of the stage, so I don't actually see comparisons. I didn't see comparisons, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. What do you think backstage?
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, do you think, what do you think of him in comparison to Sean Roden? Because obviously you see these guys up close. What did you think of his physique? Do you think he can take out a Sean Roden?
It's hard to say when you're seeing them by themselves. When they're standing next to each other, it's a different ballgame, which is why, you have to judge it from the front, but individually, separately, they're both incredible bodies. Very different. William Bonac's legs particularly, just the size of the bellies is just unbelievable for his structure. It's really pleasing, but really humongous at the same time.
Yeah. Charles, you've shot obviously a lot of bodybuilders, a lot of top bodybuilders. I know, I'm not even going to try to name the names, Flex Lewis, Kai Greene.
I photographed you at FedEx, didn't I?
What's that?
I photographed you recently, didn't I?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm on that list, but you've shot some amazing bodybuilders. Who's been the most impressive? Who's been the most impressive guy you've shot up close? Is it a Phil Heap or a Kai Greene, or who is it?
Because their body types are so different, it's hard to compare them in that sense. But, Phil Heap's, I think he's an alien in a sense, because you see him and he's just got muscle on muscle coming out of anything, and that's before he even flexes.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got that, I remember Mick saying after he helped you out at the shoot, he said... He said, you'd see Big Ramy and then you'd see Phil, and he said, while Ramy was massive, he said you'd see the difference between the two physiques and the reason why Phil is so much better. He's got that crazy fullness and roundness and just those hanging muscle bellies.
Well, yeah, he's just got everything on top. I remember, since you mentioned that, when we did the Kai shoot for Flex, I think it was on the Monday after the Olympia. Kai was just there in a hoodie, and as soon as he took his hoodie off, Mick and me just looked at each other and we were just like,
what the
fuck? Yeah, he actually said that.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Literally, what?
Yeah.
Because it was just the thickness of his lats, and it's just
nuts.
Yeah.
That's right, he had his back to us, didn't he?
That's
but he
what
took
I mean,
it off, and
we're just like, jaw drop.
Jesus.
You never get used to it.
Nah. Xavier, I've said that on many shows, and unfortunately, and as Scott pointed out too, you didn't make the Olympia, unfortunately, last year.
No.
We keep bringing this up, Charles. It's quite funny, okay. Scott. But
Scott was there.
Yeah, Scott was there.
Xavier, was it good?
No, I wasn't, unfortunately.
No, but we did do a couple of shows when we were in Vegas for Xavier, so we tried to bring him in as close as we could. But that day still goes down as one of my greatest days in bodybuilding ever. Xavier, I won't lie to you.
Yeah,
That was just awesome. I try and my happiness I have to contain it a fair bit when I talk to Xavier, because I don't know, I just feel like he doesn't want to talk about it.
Sounds like he doesn't.
Now moving on. Charles,
hi.
You thank you. Hello.
You get to know him.
Now, obviously, I mentioned about obviously who is the most impressive. Is there someone out there that you just really want to shoot with that you haven't shot with yet?
Oh, Gally's got his hands up.
He's never shot me, Xavier. Who haven't you shot with?
Is there a celebrity out there or someone even outside of bodybuilding?
Oh yeah, definitely. I want to shoot Rihanna. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Do you think you ever, like, get into that kind of, I suppose, like, you know, celebrity-type photo shoots?
Yeah, that's, like, I guess the next goal.
Yeah.
Once I've finished what I want to do in bodybuilding.
So you've kind you've done a lot in bodybuilding, like, in a pretty short amount of time. Like, how did you get into the bodybuilding photography thing? Was that something you always had an interest in and then you just fell into it? Or is it something that kind of you just, I suppose, I don't know, fell into it for Tony Doherty or someone else? Or
no, well, I used to, towards the end of school, I really just got interested in bodybuilding. I think the first thing that really sort of clicked was I saw a Flex magazine in a newsagent when I was on a family holiday and had Lee Priest on the cover. And it was just like, I don't know, just for some reason, because I was always into drawing and stuff, I just started drawing all the pictures in that because it was just ridiculous to see. Like, at that time, it wasn't really mass publicized. Like, the closest thing to bodybuilding was wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, a lot of kids, even at the gym I go to, which isn't really a hardcore gym or anything, it's just like a tennis club, a few of them actually know my work, which is real surprising because they're like just finished school. And back when I was in school, I don't really know anyone that I knew that actually knew bodybuilding.
Yeah.
It's definitely changed because of the internet and stuff. But yeah, from that, that was like just, yeah, sort of more interested in the training side of it. But then when I finished film and photography at uni or film school, whatever you want to call it, when I started to really learn how to light and stuff, it just sort of, I guess, I went to a show which a mate of mine was competing in. I saw some of the pictures that were taken there, and because the lighting wasn't really ideal for physiques and stuff, I sort of looked at it and I was like, well, he looks better than that, so the photos should probably show that. And then that sort of, I guess, gave me the motivation to just go, okay, I want to give it a try. And yeah, in a really short amount of time, I was able to photograph Kai Greene, which was, I don't know if you want to go into all that details and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk
just
a little bit.
Just rambling, yeah.
It's encouraging, Xavier. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually find this very
interesting. Oh, I love it. No, it is. You see what it is? You don't think it is, but to all of us, it is. It's so interesting.
Okay.
It's like someone who owns like a warehouse and like, oh, it's just got a couple of things in it and that's where like supplements are made. But someone outside of that, they say, I want to see where all these supplements are made, and they're interested in it, you know?
Okay,
right?
This will make him understand. It's like Ben and Jerry's and you've got all the different flavors and you want to know where the new flavors come from and how they did it.
Yeah.
Now
you get
it? All right, now talk.
No, but let's talk a little bit about Kai Greene, because obviously you shot with him pretty early on into your like bodybuilding photography career. What's like, obviously you've had a few encounters with him where you've done, you know, a few shoots and he's flown you over to the States and everything like that. What's he like? I mean, what's his personality and stuff like? And do you guys like click personality wise, or is it just strictly like photo shoots, or what is it?
That's sort of, I guess, the start. The thing I remember when I first met him backstage at 2010 in Tony Doherty's straight pro show, because Johnny Barlas introduced us because he was back there, and Kyle was in incredible condition that year. He's obviously been in incredible condition other times, but that particular year, just because especially 1 week after the Arnold, I think he might have lost a little bit of size on the flight over, but at the same time he kept condition, so he just sort of, he was peeled, and he wanted to get some photos taken, and he asked Johnny if there was anyone that, you know, he knew. And I photographed a shot of Johnny on stage in, it would have been 2 years before the international. And it was just like, it was a kind of cool shot. So he saw that and he was like, yeah, can I meet this kid or this guy? And I just rock up and it's like, you know, hi. But yeah, just within like 1 second of pretty much just being in the room with Kai, it's one of those people which you just feel like you already know. So he makes you feel comfortable and you sort of click with. And that's always an advantage when you're like meeting anyone that you're going to collaborate with. You want to sort of what am I talking about?
can I just say, Xavier? Well, something I noticed at the shoot we did in after the Olympia with Kai is Xavier had a big thing he'd done up himself with all the main guys that he wanted to get signed, and Kai just sat there. And
Charles?
Charles. And do you remember when Kai sat there and he said about how awesome he just said how awesome Charles' work has been, and he remembered that first shoot he ever did with Charles, and he goes, he'd never experienced anything like it, you know, he's never had any shots done like it. He was just, I mean, you know how Kai gets. He was just in awe of Charles's work. It was just really good to see someone of that. There you go. Yeah, it was just so good to see someone of Kai's stature saying those things about Charles, and just to sit there and listen to it was unreal.
Yeah, and it was like you can see that, like when Charles was shooting me backstage, even Charles was like, tighten up your abs, lock out your quad, do this. Like he would just know exactly. Like, and I'd go, oh yeah, I forgot to do that, and it'd just be something where, you know, obviously Charles has done it for a while now, and he's you're getting really, I suppose, in tune with, you know, exactly what you need to see, and you just direct people, and it just you make it easy.
I noticed, I don't know if it's like a cultural difference between American and Australian thing, but it's like, because yeah, like what you pointed out, then I will just sort of say, like, you know, flex that more, flex that. Some people might not, because they might, you know, not want to offend someone, but because you're actually trying to create an image of someone to capture them at their best, I've never really seen a problem with just pretty much saying it without worrying how it sounds, because, and I guess they actually identify, they being like people I photograph, they identify as well that, you know, this is going to be the best outcome for them, so maybe that helps because it clicks and it's like, yeah, they don't take offense and some of them get my jokes.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it because, you know, you don't want to have shots come back and you're not flexing your abs and you're going, oh, shit, I wasn't flexing my abs, or I wasn't flexing my leg, or I wasn't looking this direction or whatever. And you just told me exactly what to do. And, yeah, I felt like obviously that helped the shots a lot more. But what like kind of percentage of photography are you doing now that's bodybuilding? Is it 100% bodybuilding, or is it like 80% or?
Bodybuilding? I do a bit of fitness, figure, bikini lately, anything in that industry. Mainly anything with people I enjoy photographing. So I do other stuff. I guess online, the market that's just being created, or the audience from just posting pics on my Facebook, is largely bodybuilding. So that's all I tend to sort of put on that, because, you know, that's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's where you get your business from.
No, it was like, you don't want to post up like a non-bodybuilding picture to an audience that's mainly bodybuilding, because you probably get comments and stuff. So I've left it that. So pretty much anything that's online is mainly just because I know that's the response I'll get from that.
Yeah.
I'll do other stuff as well.
So you do you do like wedding photography?
I'm really good at selling myself, as you can see.
Well, your work kind of like speaks for yourself, but like, do you do any
like? What I kind of like is the fact that I'll just do something that I want to do, and I'll like shoot something the way I want to shoot it. Obviously, if you're doing like commercial work, it's a collaboration, and you're gonna make sure it's what the client wants. But I've generally found if you do something that you actually enjoy doing, as opposed to sort of thinking someone else might like it, you just follow your own path, and yeah, if it works for you, that's all that matters. But I guess I've just been fortunate that other people seem to like it as well.
Yeah, it's awesome that you enjoy, obviously, what you do, and you're able to do what you want to do, and it obviously works for you, and you're doing very well out of it. But you obviously shot for Flex Magazine at the Olympia, and which was a massive deal. Like, I kind of saw it, and you're shooting for Flex. I was like, that's pretty damn cool. How did you get that gig? Like, did you approach them, or...?
That's like a dream come true, shooting the cover of Flex for like the Mr. Olympia. That was pretty much, that was it.
Yeah. How did that come about? Like, did you approach them, or did they approach you, or?
No, the editor, Robbie Durand, I think he just, maybe, I don't know if it was because of some of my work that's up in Doherty's gym, and I think there was a piece that they did on Flex Online 1 year or something, but somehow he just seen my stuff, and yeah, just contacted me through that. So that was even cooler, the fact that I wasn't like intentionally seeking to try and get that sort of a interest. And I guess when you're shooting like Kai Greene and stuff, it's already at the top, so people are gonna see that, they're gonna see your stuff. So I've been lucky in that sense.
Because I actually had a few people ask me, like, how did Charles, like, hook up that gig? And I was like, I don't know, to be honest. Like,
he knows everything.
Yeah, it's funny.
How
like,
did I get it?
Quite a few people actually ask me questions, and they just expect me to know. Like, it's like, I'm...
You can always just make stuff up, you know that.
Yeah, yeah, no, I probably should have made something up.
I just think that's really...
Oh, Charles, but, like...
That's like Kai's partner. Americans like sarcasm.
Yes. Yeah. But let's move on. Let's move on. Mick, I actually got to see the Sabotage trailer, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie coming out. That's coming out. I think it comes out on May 1st. I'm pretty sure. And like, because I had you told me to watch this trailer, and it took me about a month or two to actually watch it. But it looks freaking awesome, doesn't it?
Mate, yeah, I think I might have told you about this a lot longer than that before. I think this is going to be one of Arnold's best movies. It's got all that you want in one of his. You remember the old ones like Commando and stuff like that? It looks very similar. Obviously, way different storyline, but it's just got that feel about it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it, mate. I've enjoyed the last couple he's brought out. I watched Escape the other day for the first time with Stallone. I didn't mind that.
I liked it. I saw that probably about 2 months ago.
Yeah, well, I actually only just watched it a couple of weeks ago and on DVD, but yeah, fuck, it looks good, this one, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks absolutely awesome. Charles, have you seen the trailer for this movie?
I actually haven't, so I was kind of quiet on that one because I didn't want to.
It looks good.
I'm a massive fan of Arnold, so don't get me wrong. I just haven't seen it yet.
So you love Arnold like basically every other bodybuilding fan?
Yeah, well, that was one of the other goals I've always had, is I've always wanted to go to Columbus, Ohio, for the Arnold Classic, because, you know, growing up, it's like all you hear is, with the apart from the Olympia, is the Arnold Columbus, Ohio. So I was able to do that last year and shoot backstage. And that's actually funny because, you know, I was like backstage at the Arnold Classic, and I was like, I knew Arnold would eventually come in. And it's pretty intense when he does, because everyone just sort of stops.
Yeah.
And it's not just because he's got, like, you know, all these guards around him, but it's him. It's like, yeah, he's literally like the Terminator.
Yeah, a lot of people say he's got like almost like an aura around him, like not just, yeah, like
yeah,
you said, not
no,
just
literally like, out of everyone that I photographed in the backstage at the Olympia, which I did in, I think the first time in 2011, that was surreal and in a dream, I was in my own world then, and obviously that was crazy, but just when actually Arnold walked past, I was shell-shocked.
Did you snapshot shots of him backstage, or...?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, good, good.
We won't go into that.
So you get up me for taking cheeky little photos when we're at the shoots, yet you're doing the same thing to your idol.
No, that's like the one time I was
oh,
like,
here we go.
I felt like I'm a fan. I just did a fan thing.
I'll tell you what happens over at the Olympia that you didn't go to last year, and we're at the shoot. And after 20-something years, I'm still starstruck by all these guys. So I'm taking cheeky little photos in between Charles's photos of Phil and who else did we do? We did Kai and David Henry. And I just remember Charles always, stop taking photos. Stop taking photos. And I would have taken about 50 or 60 with my phone.
But
and,
no, to make funny even more hilarious, it was with his iPad.
Oh, so it wasn't even sneaky.
Yeah, like standing there with this big, like,
There was quite a few on my phone too, but it just, the phone for some reason had no reception in there, so I had to get on my iPad and that was a bit better. But
yeah, because you wanted to post it.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Jeez.
You just kicked me on the toe.
Stop being difficult.
I love it when you see someone that's taken like a selfie in the mirror and they're using an iPad. It just doesn't look right.
I've never done that. I mean, how could you do a selfie? How could you do a selfie with an iPad? You'd miss half your body.
Yeah, I've seen a few people do it.
Yeah, you'd miss half your head. Your head would be gone, or your chest would be gone, something would be gone.
Do you want to try it now, Michael? There's a bathroom in this hotel.
I've got no iPad with me. Oh, no, so here we go. Actually, we'll do an iPad selfie, me and Charles, and we'll put it up. We'll post it.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, all right, done. You're in, Charles. Sorry, bud.
You can post it on the RX Muscle Australia Facebook page.
Hey, we'll get you. Oh, you're already famous. That's all right. I was going to say, we'll make you famous, but you're famous.
Yeah, you're already beating us.
Can I just say, Charles has got a really nice pad down in Broadbeach, by the way, Xavier. Yeah, overlooking the ocean.
Oh, nice.
Obviously, he's doing all right.
A pad.
It's a pad. What do you call it then?
Yeah, I just bought it like last week. Oh, Jesus.
He wouldn't stay with me for some reason.
What do you mean?
I told him he could stay at my house. There's a spare room, but, you know.
I don't like intruding, Michael.
You're not intruding. You're my mate. Oh, Jesus. Hey, Xavier.
Yes.
I've got some big news for our show next week.
What's that?
It involves me, and it's just big news.
Is it the news that I know, the news you told me?
Yeah, but this... fucking hell, it's not really news then, is it? Yeah, it's the news you both know, but there's more to it.
The internet doesn't know yet.
No, the internet doesn't know. Facebook doesn't know yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Facebook knows a lot.
It knows a shitload at the moment, yeah. Yeah.
It posts everything.
What's wrong with that? But Charles and I were supposed to go to... Charles and I were supposed to go to Movie World today, Xavier.
Yeah.
And I was quite excited because I've got my yearly pass. So I go once a week. No joke, I go once a week. I love the place.
I don't know how you can go once a week. I'll get so sick of it.
No way. How could you get sick of the Scooby-Doo ride?
Would you get sick of the Olympia, though? Oh, yeah, man, sorry.
Oh, but that's...
Yeah, he started off. Wow.
That's harsh, Charles.
So I was pumped yesterday. I'm like, yeah, let's go to Movie World. I'll spend the day. I did all my clients first thing this morning. And then I get a text late last night saying, oh, Mick, I'm a little bit sick. I don't think I'll be able
I'm
to go.
I'm not a little sick. That's why I've been quiet today. I'm exhausted.
Oh, here we go. So now he's exhausted. Because, hey, Xavier, you know how these photographers work so hard.
No, I'm sorry. It's been going on so
I know.
For a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so I guess at the end of the day, no Movie World.
We've actually got an Adventure World over here, Mick.
Adventure World.
Yes, it's not bad. It's like, you know, Dream World, how they've got the water park now?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's got the rides and it's got the water park.
Are they good rides?
They actually are. Surprisingly.
Movie World's got good rides.
I went with... I don't know if I should say this. I don't think Holly would be upset with me, but she'd never been on a ride until we went on one. Like, it was like the G-Wizzer or something. It just like some... they got a place called Hillary's over here, which is like a boat harbour type thing. And we went on the G-Wizzer there and she told me she'd never been on a ride before.
What?
This was literally probably 6 months ago. She's like, I've never been on a ride before.
Really? I was like, how old is she?
21. And I was like flipping out. And we went to this Adventure World and we went on one, you know, the Wipeout at Dream World?
Yep.
It was similar to that, except not quite as big. And we went on that and Holly cried.
I don't know if you should have said this at all, actually.
Nah, she was panicked. Like, we was at the top of a ride, yeah. And I kind of looking over and I like, you know, tap her on her shoulder. And she was just like, she was mad at me because I was touching her. She's just hanging on and just like shaking and sweating. And
afterwards?
No, she wasn't too happy. She said, I'm never going on that again. And then we went on a roller coaster and she said that wasn't much better. So,
do you think there'd be a chance if I took Charles out to the new Green Lantern ride, he'd do the same?
I haven't seen the Green Lantern.
It's fucking lethal. You're actually upside down for part of it. You go around. Oh, man, I love it. It's unreal.
Is that like the Lethal Weapon they had where your legs hang out of a roller coaster?
Yes, that's actually still there, but they've changed it. It's now called the Riddler.
Oh, okay. I like the Lethal Weapon.
See, you know what? Hey, Lethal Weapon was... Well, no. Yeah, but they called it the Riddler. But Lethal Weapon, everyone loves Lethal Weapon. That was great. You know, Mel Gibson, Danny Glover...
Joe Pesci.
Exactly, yeah, Joe. And now it's like they've just gone, oh, fuck that shit, we'll get rid of it, and now we've put it in the Riddler. I still remember there's a Lethal Weapon ride, though.
There is?
No, well, it's the exact same ride, they've just coloured it, painted it, and now it's called the Riddler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I'd probably prefer it called the Lethal Weapon, but I suppose the Riddler's okay.
I don't know.
Is it in reference to Batman?
Yeah, of course it is. Riddler, Batman, what the hell? Because next door you've got Superman ride. You've got the Superman ride really is unbelievable. You could have got a yearly pass too.
I couldn't. I'm not
a manager, remember? Well, you can't do that, yeah. What else do we have, Xavier?
What do you mean?
What else do we talk? We can just keep rambling if you want. This is better. I actually enjoy listening to this when it's just rambling.
Yeah, same. I actually, on the weekend, I was mentioning Amy Fox's 30th. You saying how you go to Macca's before you actually go out for dinner?
Yeah,
it was pretty bad what we did on my weekend, because I really wanted. I'm like, look, we're going to this nice restaurant for Amy's 30th. There's not going to be as much food as I want there, Holly. I said we've got to go somewhere else. I said we've got to go somewhere after, and she was going, oh, but you know, dinner's at 7 down at Frio, and then we would have to drive back. It's like an hour away or whatever. She's like, I'll get too tired. So we end up going to this place called Little Caesars beforehand. So we got a pizza there. We ate there. We went and had some dessert. And then we drove down to Frio, had dinner there, finished up there. I ended up driving back because I normally don't drive because Holly picks on my driving a lot and stuff. And
are you that bad?
No, I'm good. But Holly will always she's very controlling when I drive for some reason.
Ooh.
But
Okay.
Fair enough. But she slept on the way home, so I was quite happy with that. And I ended up. I'm like, you know, after a comp when you just like manic about food.
Yeah.
I was just terrible. Like, I was driving, and I just started speeding. I'm like, oh, it doesn't really matter. And so I started speeding. I went to Macca's, and I got one of those new, you know those new subs they've got?
No, I didn't.
They've got schnitzel subs.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I did see that. When we went to Macca's the other night before dinner, I saw that.
Yeah, I got a barbecue schnitzel sub. It was actually pretty good. I was reasonably impressed. Got one of those, went home, and ate ice cream on the couch, and... And while Holly slept on the couch till about 1 a.m. So, yeah. But mate, I end up having three cheap meals after the other. So, and dessert with everyone. So,
God bless you.
Oh, mate, I was very happy, but then I felt very, very obese.
It's unreal at the start, isn't it? Every, you know what? Even just the you know you're going to get junk food and you're so excited, you're eating it, you're so happy, and then it's usually about an hour later you're just going, oh, what have I done?
I'm not even like that. It's like it has to be right at the end for me. It's always like I always try to feel it right at the end. I'm like, what have I done? What am I?
Just that, you know, that sickly sort. Hey, I'm gonna take Charles. He's on the phone now in the bathroom, so I can say what I want about him. But yeah. Have you heard of our famous place up here? We talk about it all the time on Facebook and put that chicken teriyaki Japanese place called Fuku.
I always see that you're at a Japanese place, but I never
take Fuku. Yeah, which is quite a funny name, Fuku. It's hilarious. So I'm going to take Charles there to try and, like, clearly taking him to a beautiful restaurant Saturday night didn't go down well because he fucking carried on like a bitch. fucking hell. Actually, he did pay for it, so I should say now if he listens to this episode later, thank you very much, Charles.
You were saying you took him there.
I took him there. I didn't expect him to pay it. He pulled out his credit card, and I thought, you know what? He's making good money. Bugger him. but yeah, the waitress did think, I'm pretty sure she did think that we may have been a couple at one stage, and he didn't make it any better for me by saying things, so yeah, I won't be going back there again.
I love it.
Excuse me. Hey, did you know, I'll say this on air, it doesn't matter. You know I broke my nose last week?
Yes, you told me, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it's funny because no one's really picked up on it except for, I put a status up quickly, I was in emergency hospital and what had happened because I was laughing about it. I've never broken a bone in almost 40 years, never. And I've broken my nose and it was by my fucking flatmate. As you do, guys always muck around. I copped a cheeky elbow right in the side. And as soon as he's done it, it just blood just went everywhere, and I've gone, you broke my nose. And he goes, no, I haven't. And I pulled my hand away, and he went, oh, yeah, I have. And, no, thank you. Oh, fucking rooms. No, we're good. I'm just doing something on. Can say something, Xavier, so she knows I'm talking to someone.
Yeah, we're just doing a radio show.
Just can you come back? Please, this is. Come back? Okay, thank you. We keep that in too. That's funny.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that is funny. That is funny.
So I pulled it away and blood everywhere. And I've gone to the mirror and I'm looking at it going, and it's a pretty bad break. I'm like, fuck, this looks disgusting. What am I going to do? And I didn't know what to do. So I went to the medical center, 24 hours, about 9:30 at night. And they couldn't do anything. So they said, go to the hospital, emergency. So I fucking sat there for hours. No bruising, no swelling whatsoever. Just this massive crooked nose. Part of me wants to keep it because it gives me a bit of character. But the other ego part wants to put it back, so I've got a perfect nose. And so they took x-rays and then they've come back to me and said, we can't put it back in. I said, why not? And they said something to do with the x-ray. So I've got to wait 10 days. And then I said, but isn't that going to hurt, putting it back in? They went, yeah, it's going to hurt. And I went, so I'll probably get bruising then from this. And they went, yeah, probably. I'm like, oh, fuck, okay.
That sucks.
So they finally called this morning and said, you booked in it for 1:30 on Wednesday to get it. But how do they put it back in, Zay? This is what I'm starting to stress about.
Well, do you get any, like, pain meds or anything? Because it's if they don't give you anything, then that's going to freaking hurt.
Well, when I did it, I felt no pain, no bruising, no swelling. It was just broken. Okay. That was it. But I guess to put it back in, they're going to... I'm starting to stress things.
We're going to have to do it hard, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, it won't have to be that hard, will it? Can't I just do a little... Oh, anyway. So there you go. There's my big news for the week as well. My first broken bone in 40 years. Can you believe it?
That's crazy. I've broken my arm. I've actually broken my nose. Yeah. But it's like I didn't have to get it put... I can't remember getting it put back in or anything.
Yeah. I'll send you a photo. It's like it's a fair... Oh, yeah, it's like a bit of a bend, but it's funny. Like, it didn't feel like he connected that hard. Like it was just an elbow touch. That's all I felt. But because it hit it right on the side on an angle with the tendon part, it just, yeah. Anyway, but I've been hanging out with everyone. Logan, I was at the comp order yesterday. If Aaron Stern didn't even pick up on it. You think if anyone's going to say something, Aaron would go, you got a broken nose? And I'd look at her and go, well, yeah. And she'd be like, oh, well, I like that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I think Charlie, he's in the bathroom still. So I think he's, because Aaron's up here for a few days. I think him and Aaron are getting together tomorrow for lunch or something because they're obviously friends. So I'm gonna stalk him.
Oh, you're saying about him being in the bathroom and then you're talking about Aaron Stern. I was like, where are you going with this, Mick? Well,
I wasn't going anywhere. I'm trying to be sly and say I'm going to just follow Charles where he goes tomorrow and I'm just going to turn up. So, yeah. Hey, Aaron.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Mick, anyway, I've got Scott waiting on the other line, so we're recording
this. He gets angry if we go over time, doesn't he?
Yeah, so I've got to get going. I've got to quickly try to get down a meal as quick as possible, and that's it for us this week, Mick, and it's been a very good segment. I've enjoyed having Charles on and yourself. And
yep. Do you want me, Charles? Excuse me. Can you just say goodbye to Xavier because we've got to cut the show now? Jesus Christ, amateur. Thinks he's all that because he's on top of photography. Oh, here he comes. We've just ended the show, so if you could just say goodbye.
Goodbye, Xavier.
We're just ending the show, so you're still on air. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was just taking a phone call for a client in the bathroom.
Yeah, I've told everyone that.
We had another interruption by room service as well, so that was
coming again.
That wasn't room service. That was like, I don't know, housekeeping or something.
I don't know. I thought it was just room. Oh, yeah. Room service late.
No, because if it was room service, that would mean I actually ordered something, which means it would be my fault.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't want to accept responsibility.
Yeah. So there. Anyway.
What did I miss?
Not too much.
You know what? You can listen to the show and you can see what.
Now that I've come out of my shell, if Lionel Bierke and William Bonnet. If they're both doing the Arnold, that'll be crazy to actually see them, because Lionel Bierke, I remember backstage at the Olympia last year, he was on, and like his muscle bellies were like flex wheelers. His arms are the freakiest things I've ever seen. Win a t-shirt, and then it's just, yeah, that'll be crazy to actually see. So I might go to that one.
Ah, awesome, awesome. Charles, if you're over there, make sure you you let us know what's going on and everything. We'll have to have you back on the show as well, so you can give us a wrap up of that. So we've got someone who was actually live at the show, and I think we're going to see. Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. I think we're going to see William Bonnack up there. I think we're going to see Baiki up there. We might see like a John De La Rosa maybe battling up there. Then you got like Juan Morel, who's looking crazy, and Steve Kuklo, if he's on, then he's going to be
up there too. Yeah, there's some solid guys there.
Yeah, so. It's definitely going to be a good one. So Charles, thanks for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. We enjoyed
it's
having
just
you.
Just interview Scott if you want to.
Thank
say
you
something.
For having me. Hi, Scott.
Scott always listens back, so he'll hear that definitely.
Yeah,
but
we love you, Scott.
I guess, yeah.
I want to thank a few of our sponsors. We've got Gripped Fitness Accessories. We've got ATP Science. You're obviously sponsored by both of those, Mick. We've got My Muscle Chef. I just want to mention their orders close midnight on Tuesday nights for their weekend's orders. And that's it for Charles Lothian and Michael Galley. That's it for episode number 99 of Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goebel, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at mymusclechef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Leave that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level?
Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.